Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 18th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always, incredibly simple, remains the same. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant, and that is the key to the exercise when it comes to fixing our country. We don't need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth certainly is in order. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Now, I never even reviewed Wednesday's broadcast. It was too busy of a show yesterday. Same thing is true for today. But quickly, yesterday, we had a big old battle about a bill in the state of Utah. It's H.R. 276. It was introduced by Mike Noel of Kanab, Utah. He's a Republican of the House of Representatives of the state of Utah. And Mike's bill, H.B. 276, would establish a division of land management within the current Utah Department of Natural Resources. Now, that's where the battle starts. You know, some say, who wants to create a new government entity? In other words, why would we want another BLM at the state level? Would that be any better, is the question? It's a fair question. Now, the Utah Sheriff's Association currently supports HB 276. We'll get into that. Mike Noel said much of his bill reflects current federal land management law. Not because he really wants it to, but because, you know what? There's a lot of laws out there, a lot of guidelines out there that a single bill is not really at liberty to change. And that's kind of where the rub comes. A lot of patriots say, you know what, this thing's all wrong. It smacks of Agenda 21. It has the office of the sheriff in question. Mike says, you know what, that stuff just isn't accurate or correct. I agree in the sense that you can't fix America in a day. I agree that we've got, you know what, as Kurt Wisely pointed out yesterday on the program, we've gone from the Ten Commandments to the 10 million commandments. Much of that is in regulatory law. There's a battle on our hands, folks, and it's hard to restore. The bill is 871 lines long. And Mr. Noel, that's Mike Noel, says we will amend the law as we move forward, taking control of the federal land. It's all about transferring the land to Utah and getting the feds out of the mix. The debate is over the best way to accomplish that task. Can we work together without personal attacks is the question that I asked. Second hour of the show yesterday, we had more discussion on just how to find solutions using the checks and balances that our founding fathers provided. That's the summary of yesterday's show. Today, we have on kind of the opposite side of the story, if you will. He's a friend, a great gentleman. His name is Ben McClintock, and Ben wrote an article, Utah legislature moves to remove the power of the sheriff. And you know what? This battle, strangely enough, is among constitutionalists. Mike would claim he's a constitutionalist. So would Ben. So would Sam and Kurt. And it's kind of an interesting battle of the constitutionalists right now. Hi, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sorry to take so much time to introduce this and not give you time to talk, too, but I kind of have to set the stage so people understand the link between the discussions here.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people would say we need to get the land back from the feds first. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree, and so I wish that there was somebody in the legislature that was actually working to do that.
Okay, Mike would say I'm that guy, Ben.
I would say that the legislation being passed by the legislature proves the opposite. The bills are increased regulation. They are actually creating regional arrangements and regional agreements and giving money to organizations like the Larry McAllister Conservation Fund that buys up what this bill does. According to what it does is it buys up not property, but development rights of property owners so that they can never, and anybody that they sell their land to can never build on it again. And so it's in perpetuity. And it's one of these, again, Agenda 21 programs that are out there disguised. It's being sold to us as one thing, but when you actually look at the language and how it's implemented, it does something completely different.
And let me kind of add to this to kind of make the point here. When you say that it's, you know, you think it's to do one thing, but it really implements something completely different, what you're talking about is key buzzwords that you and I on the surface think mean certain things, but when you dig into the behind-the-scenes master planning, behind-the-scenes documents enabling this stuff, you find out their meaning and their viewpoint of a given word and or phrase is entirely different, defined in their, quote, code or documents, than you or I might believe in the first place. So it sounds simple. It sounds like you'd be for it. I'll give you a perfect example, the Patriot Act. I mean, who on earth wouldn't be for the Patriot Act, Ben? But when you find out what it really is, you go, heck no, I'm completely against that, right? Yep. Is that a good example?
Absolutely. Perfect.
All right, keep going. I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to make this very clear that it's about definitions most times, right?
Most of the time. It's about definitions, and it's just like the Patriot Act. You know, it has one title, and then the language is anti-patriotism. And the same thing with the Transfer of Public Lands Act. It creates wilderness areas. It makes more land off limits to human use. And so it's
now what Mike would say about that, Ben, though, Mike would say, you know what? I identify all these different uses. I work with all the current uses that are out there codified by state regulation and by all these different regulations that are already set up. It's beyond the scope of my ability to even deal with that right now. I'm just trying to get land back from the feds.
Well, then don't make it worse. And so you can say that I'm not trying to correct something, that I can't correct everything. That's, you know, that's fine. But if the bill only corrects something and doesn't make something worse, then I'm like, okay, whatever. But these bills actually make it worse. There's the Interstate Compact, which is a part of this thing, which actually allows, it's a regional government. It brings Utah into a regional compact with states like Oregon, Washington, California, that they get together and they have their job is to create political and legal mechanisms for the transfer, developing model legislation for member states to adopt, allow the Compact Commission to hire staff. An associate member state agrees to perform and comply in accordance with the terms of the membership. So we don't even know what that is until it's passed and already agreeing to do it. And then we're also, a part of that bill is we promise to let the other states enforce the act on us. And so it smacks of a...
Now, let me ask you this question. The concept of other states demanding things of a different state, you've gone into a whole different discussion now. Never before have we had given states having authority over other states and or by regional control, right?
Exactly.
How do we stop it? It's already passed the House, the Senate. They're waiting on the governor's signature now. Mike has laid down the gauntlet for a couple of things, which we'll get to in the next segment, and I want you to respond to those. But how do we deal with this, then? Is it a done deal, Ben?
So just to be clear, the language that I just spoke of was not of the specific bill that's up for the governor's signature. HB 276 is the Utah Public Land Management Act, which all of these different bills that I've been mentioning are interconnected together. And so the one that HB 276 has passed the House and the Senate, and so what we're doing is we're urging people to call the governor at 801-538-1000.
Hold on. Give the number again.
801-538-1000 is the governor's number to ask him to veto HB 276, which creates the Department of Land Management and gives them, if they're the head of their agency, the unelected bureaucracy, designates such a move.
Okay, now, when you say these bills are all together, Mike would simply say, look, I'm not here to be responsible for all these other bills. Now you've kind of broadened the discussion. Let's discuss exactly what is connected together, but I'm not responsible for that. Mike, that would be Mike's statement. Now, I'm not trying to take Mike's side. I'm just going with a lot of the arguments that he made yesterday. And since we didn't have you guys both on at the same time, I'll ask you some questions about his arguments, and then, hey, you can throw out some arguments or some things that you'd like Mike to respond to, right?
Well, I was responding responding because you said that they were chief proponents of trying to get the lands back. And I was showing, I was demonstrating that the laws that they claim do that don't do that. And he voted for those laws, and so he would be responsible for those laws.
I see. Okay, so your point is, you know what, Mike, you can say that the bills aren't related to yours, but you know what, they are. You voted for them. You've got this common thread here, it being advanced by multiple people, and it's not as simple as just your bill.
And they claim that they're all together. These are they claim each bill moves us closer towards their supposed goal of getting our lands back.
Is this all led by Ken Ivory?
Yes, behind the scenes, their organization, the American Lands Council, that Lavoie Finucane warned.
All right, hold on. Let's talk about this. I want to give you time, but I got a hard break. Stay right there. Ben McClintock. We'll talk in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
And this half hour is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, think thepowermall.com. Incredible specials for you. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. That is thepowermall.com. Also brought to you by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for Patriots, GiveMeLibertyFund.com gets it done. All right, we're talking to Ben McClintock. And Ben McClintock wrote an article. Utah legislature moves to remove the power of the sheriff. Very interesting article. We'll break that down here in a little bit. We'll also get into the details of this legislation we're talking about. We're talking about Bill HB 276 that would establish the division of Land Management within the current Utah Department of Natural Resources. Now, some would say, you know what, that's just more government. The last thing we need is more government. Others would say, well, look, if we're really going to get the land back from the feds and kick the feds out, we got to have some way to administer that land. Well, the Patriots are battling about this. Now, Ben, right before the break, you were saying even Lavoie Finicum warned us about some of this, right? I want to give you a chance to finish your thought.
Yeah, we interviewed him shortly before his death, and he said...
Now, hold on. Just stop and help everybody understand. What do you mean you interviewed him? You're a talk show host, too?
Yeah, every week on K-Talk up in Salt Lake, we have a radio program on.
All right, perfect. Just wanted to clarify. So on K-Talk, KTKK, AM 630, you guys do a talk show on the weekends?
On the Liberty lineup. Our show is every Thursday. But
every
the
Thursday.
Lineup's Monday through Friday, 10 to noon.
Perfect. All right, go ahead, sir. I just wanted to clarify that so people understand. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he in the interview, he explained, quote, the federal government loves the American Lands Council, who's the chief proponent of the Transfer of Public Lands Act, because what do? He says, they keep it in the legislative arena. They keep it in the judicial arena, the federal judicial arena. They, the feds, like that because they'll never lose. They'll just keep stretching it out. They'll stretch it out for 30 years.
And now, let me make your point so poignant people cannot forget it. I am involved with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, as everybody knows. I created a conference at the National Press Club, and we went and spoke in front of the National Press Club. There's incredible speeches. They're all on video. If you go to CSPOA.org and other places, you can check out the speeches. But one of the speeches was given by the daughter of Wayne Haig, Ramona Haig. And Wayne Haig was a rancher in Nevada that has been fighting the federal government. Well, he's now passed away even, so it's a multi-generational fight, but it's gone on 35-plus years. The point is, Ramona Haig testified in front of the National Press Club at this event that I was one of the chief organizers of, that, you know what, they won against the federal government in the courts. The federal government was guilty of racketeering, was guilty of all kinds of abuses, and the judge basically said, government, bring your wallet, you're out of control, and you must be stopped. Flat out, the Haigs won. However, their victory, Ben McClintock, is incredibly hollow because the federal government, number one, has not followed the law. They just ignore it. And number two, they're still harassing the Haig family along with many others on these same battles and principles. I mean, the federal government literally abused the members of this Haig family. It's documented 66 ways from Sunday. The judge was incensed. Nevertheless, the government doesn't even care about the law, doesn't even care that they lost in the courts. And so your point is that they will never lose because all they got to do is keep bouncing that ball around, ignore the courts, and who's going to hold them accountable? Anyway, that's just a documented evidence example, case in point to what Lavoie was saying and what you're echoing.
Exactly. Exactly. And so the Lavoie told another story about Mike Noel. And explained that these ranchers were working to be able to declare independence from the BLM. But Mike Noel and his friends over there went to this group, Lavoie says, and found out about it. And then they ran over there, I'm quoting Lavoie, the next week saying, no, give us more time. We will get this done. Don't do that, meaning don't declare independence from the BLM. And so it took, quote, I'm still quoting, and so it took the steam out of it. And that could have been the first full county because they have the sheriff behind them. They could have been the first whole county in the union to throw off these federal chains, Lavoie said. And so he's working against the ranchers. And then he comes up, he says, so we're going to work in the legislative arena, comes up with HB 276, which creates a new government bureaucracy. And so now there's these two agencies, the Department of Land Management and the Division of Wildlife Resources, that now would have control over this land, have primary control, that they all admit that they have primary control. It's when they deny that they're diminishing the power of the sheriff, it's like I'm punching you in the face and telling you I'm not punching you in the face, because they then admit that, yes, the primary law enforcement agent in these areas are the Department of Land Management and the Division of Wildlife Resources.
All right, let me take on this battle between Lavoie Finicum, Ammon Bundy and crew, and I don't know if I should say the federal government, because it's even state governments. They battled with Oregon. Now the battle's kind of possibly moving to Utah. One of the claims that I hear often, and I heard this from Ammon Bundy, We heard this from Finicum. We've heard this from many others within those kinds of groups. And that is that, you know what, there are sheriffs that are on their side. There are sheriffs that are willing to take their points to the bank and protect them and everything else. I don't mean to be offensive, but I am the vice president of operations of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I've been around for a long time, and I know a lot of sheriffs, reasonably well, in fact. And so whenever I hear a claim, I actually call the sheriff involved and ask him, talk to him. And I talk to a lot of these sheriffs, and they say, you know what? I understand the points that LaVoy is making. I understand the points that Ammon Bundy or Cliven would make. And I don't disagree with their general premise that the federal government's out of control, that the state many times is out of control. Look, it's the state people that killed Finicum, according to the FBI. We're struggling to get to the bottom of who knows who really shot as they pull off another scandal and someone's dead. So clearly the federal government's the violent one. Clearly we got a problem on our hands. But when I talk to these sheriffs, they say, you know what? I understand their cause, but I'm not really willing to carry it out as they claim I am. The truth is it's not exactly as you're told. The truth is that we got to work through this. There's better ways to go about this. And a lot of people are saying, hey, let's sit down and talk about this all sides. That's something that the sheriff would not do in Oregon, which is sad because I think we could have had a lot of transparency there if the sheriff in Oregon had the guts. Nevertheless, there are people who are willing to sit down and talk about this. I'm one of them. I'm not suggesting I have a lot of influence or that I'm anybody important, but I do have the ability for a variety of unique people to sit down and discuss these things. And I know the gauntlet has been laid down yesterday where Mike Noel says, hey, let's sit down and talk about this. Are you ready to do that, Ben?
Not with these individuals. I've heard it from several corners of people that have met with Mike Noel that are, he's asking them where I live. He's telling them that he's accessing government records to find out this information. And so somebody that it looks like to me, and it feels like to me because of the history of what they've done to me, accusing me of being funded by George Soros. Can I remake that accusation for a long time? They're not really interested. It's a campaign of intimidation. And so I don't want to engage in that. I don't want to engage in giving them legitimacy by saying, oh, we'll pull this one part out and the bill will be good. Well, no, the whole bill's bad. The whole bill's creating more government power, taking away power from the people. And I'm not going to deal with people that deal with intimidation and with...
So then I would ask, what is the way forward? If you're not willing to sit down and meet with those guys, what's the way forward? Are you willing to sit down and meet with anybody about it? Who are you willing to sit down with that might be able to make a difference or change the game?
Well, these people have been shown the problems in their bills. And instead of saying, instead of introducing legislation that would fix that have been the problems that have been shown to them, they start with a campaign of smearing and of denial. And so I would say I'd be willing to meet with them when they show good faith in looking at the language and actually addressing it instead of attacking character and attacking people.
All right. Some of these sheriffs, I guess all 28 of them, or in fact, maybe all 29 of them, the Utah Sheriff's Association says, you know what, it doesn't violate the power of the sheriff. They wrote a letter to that effect. We'll talk about that. Give you a chance to respond to that in seconds. This is an interesting battle, ladies and gentlemen, and really the question is, what's the best way forward? You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Utah State Congressman Mike Noel has a bill, HB 276, the goal to transfer land back to the state of Utah. Ben McClintock wrote an article. Hey, this isn't the way to get it done. If you want to do it, don't make it worse, is Ben's comments. The Utah legislature moves to remove power from the sheriff, which we'll get into. But a lot of people are saying, Ben, you know what? I appreciate your arguments. Others are saying, you know what? Your attacks are out of control. But then you said, hey, people are trying to find out your name and find out who you are, and so we got to assume Ben McClintock is a pen name, right?
It is a pen name, yes.
Now, Mike and those guys would say, why use a pen name? What do you got to hide from? And my response is Mark Twain was a pen name, just so everybody knows. You know,
Franklin had a pen name.
Ben Franklin used a pen name for most of his letters. Thomas Paine is a pen name. So pen names are well documented in history. I would kind of wonder, are we really to the point, though, where the government's is out of control to the point where we need to use a pen name, do you think?
I believe so, and I think that Ken Ivory and Mike Noel have proven that out.
All right. Sad to say, we have a division in America that's going to be very hard to handle. You know, I disagree with what Ammon Bundy did. I'm sad that Lavoy Finicum is dead. I consider them friends. I knew Ammon. I did not know Lavoy personally. And we're starting to see a fracture in America. And what the patriots would say is, you know what? The government's just going too far. They won't stop. And that's the problem. The government would say, oh, we're willing to work with you. But the problem is, every time we turn around, it just seems like more government and more subterfuge is the term that I would use. Now, speaking of that, there's this letter written by the Utah Sheriff's Association that says, you know what? This bill's fine. We endorse HB 276. It doesn't take away the power of the sheriff. We read yesterday on the air that it clearly does. We documented that beyond debate. Mike Noel says, you know what? We can work on that. If it makes you feel better, we can take some of that stuff out. We can fix it. But that would only take sitting down. Now, on this sheriff's letter, what's your response to all those sheriffs saying it's all right, it's okay, this is not a problem?
Well, first of all, I don't think it is all of the sheriffs. We've had several contacts reach out to, at least Jim Tracy responded that he was out of state and he didn't know about it, and that he actually asked the governor to hold off until he could look at it. And so I think to say that it was all of those sheriffs is first of all, not accurate. Second of all, the letter itself admits everything that we wrote. And it was a little bit of a diversion because it says that it admits that the sheriffs are not the primary. And this is not acceptable. we believe. We believe that the sheriff has to always be primary. And it's true that they admitted that the DWR is already law, but the DLM. But they didn't even talk about the new department formed, the Department of Land Management. It's a new policy authority that is under the direction of an unelected bureaucrat that would be able to even take away the power of the DWR, which has supreme authority in normal circumstances. And so, as you said, it's beyond debate that the bill gives the DWR and the new DLM the primary policing authority in public lands.
Wow. Now, so Sheriff Tracy, who talked to Sheriff Tracy? Is he really saying that he did not know that this was sent out, that his name was on it? Is he really asking the governor to hold off until he can review it and give an opinion?
That's what several of our callers have said when they called him.
All right. I'd like to know who, because I think Jim Tracy hasn't made any public statements to that effect.
I don't know any public statements. I'm just telling you what people have told us when they called him, what he said.
All right, that's an interesting idea, because so far I don't see anything anywhere in the media, and would be the first to break the story is why it's so important. If there are, I don't know what you call them, dissenters within the sheriff's ranks on that, that would open up a discussion. Would you sit down with a sheriff that publicly broke ranks on it? In other words, are you willing to sit down with Tracy?
I would.
All right. We can sit down with Sheriff Jim Tracy. I personally know him well. He's my sheriff. A good guy, I think, and I think he's willing to try to find common ground. And I really think that's where we ought to go on things, you know? Only because I believe that whether you question the motives of those involved at some point, if we don't have a way to peacefully move forward, what are we left with is the question.
And that's a good question, because like you mentioned earlier, the federal government and the governments and even some state governments have proven to be the violent ones.
They have, no question about it, sir. I can point to Ruby Ridge. I can just go right on down the list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's undeniable. It's unquestionable that the government is the violent party in all of these things. But our own state reps are complicit. They claim that they can't do everything at once. Well, everything that they're doing is they're making it worse. Like with this Transfer of Public Lands Act, they're giving $12 million to consultants on this thing, and then the lawyers. And they're increasing funding for these environmental groups through these things, the Wilderness Act, the Compact, the Transfer of Public Lands, giving big government people control over bureaucracies that are supposedly over the control of the land. And then you look at their voting records, not just Libertas, but also Grassroots, Utah, all show that these guys have F ratings in supporting Liberty, F ratings, not just one organization. Most of the conservative organizations grade them as F, D's, and C's.
There's no doubt about that government and government officials, you know, kind of rank at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to trust and believability and favorability with the American people. I mean, the federal government's the worst at it, but states are starting to get a bad rap as they try to basically, instead of reducing the size and scope of government, what they try to do is say, okay, there's an opportunity for us to replace the Fed. And get bigger. And that's kind of the concern that we have, too. That's your concern with HB 276. Let's get into some of the details of this bill. One of the things that I find fascinating about it is when you create these new government agencies, then what you do is when you create this government agency, you literally give them judge, jury, and executional power all in one. And that's the biggest problem that a lot of us have with these bills is it's like, you know what? Hold on. You don't need to have judge, jury, and executioner to deal with land. You don't need to debate whether it's going to be sold off private land or forced as government-controlled land in this discussion. You can say, let's kick the feds out, but let's make sure that we accept the balance of powers and the checks and balances that our founding fathers gave us, Ben.
Exactly. If you're going to create a new agency, make it according to correct principle. Don't just do a replacement of the same thing we have now.
All right. Are you willing to give your name? It's one of the questions they ask. They're just like, you know what? What about this, you know, hey, what about this cloak and dagger kind of attack idea? You know what? Publicly state who you are. If you have the guts to make claims, let's you know, do it transparently.
Well, these people, with the intimidation that they've been involved in, I don't, I've, uh, I've, That's why I did it in the first place, to protect myself against such activities.
All right. Well, there are historical realities of the Founding Fathers doing the same. It's pretty hard to stand against that idea, right?
I believe so.
And it is too bad that many Americans have gone to such extremes. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? This is America here, people. And it shocks me that this may be necessary. But let's be clear. It's not just Ben McClintock. It's others who are feeling the same way. I mean, look at Ammon right now. Whether you agree or disagree with him taking over the wildlife refuge, his response was, hey, it said, you know what, visitors welcome, come on in. Others have stayed there for days at a time. Ammon never ran around with any guns or anything else. Now, basically, he's a political prisoner on all kinds of weird federal government trumped up unconstitutional charges. Whether you agree with Ammon and the takeover or not isn't the point. The point is Ammon would say the same thing. Hey, I should have maybe run around under a pen name and you know, ran around in disguises or something, you know? Lavoie Finicum is dead. I don't think he needs to be dead. He's dead because government's out of control and violent. Regardless of what they did, it doesn't justify death and languishing in federal prison in virtual isolation. And that's what we've got today. There's a lot of people that agree with that. I guess the question is, I don't know that people realize how serious this has really become, Ben.
Exactly. Well, and that's because it's because a mixture of two things. We, the people, have allowed it to become such. You know, they've worked slowly. One thing at a time that didn't seem like a big deal. We're like, okay, whatever. And then all of a sudden, we're in the situation that we're in. And our legislature, which is supposed to be the one that enforces the Constitution, has been complicit, not only complicit, but they've been helping. They've aided and abetted this insurrection against the Constitution.
All right. We talked about Ken Ivory a little bit, and this is kind of where I think the real discussion point should be. And I'm not here to attack Ken Ivory. At the same time, there's a lot of allegations on both sides that, you know what, he's really a big government plant. His real goal is to promote massive government under the guise of returning land to the state of Utah. And, you know, there's a lot of allegations on both sides about Ken Ivory. That George Soros issue comes from this Ken Ivory idea. Ken's been very blatant publicly talking about he believes George Soros was sicked on him, if you will. And you know what? There's all kinds of allegations against Ken Ivory. Most of them have not stuck to date, but no doubt people are after Ken. Now you got both sides believing that people are after him, you know? That's kind of, at some point, it's just like political intrigue. You almost could write a novel about this stuff. The problem is, it's all too real. I'll give you a chance to respond to that in seconds. Ben, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable live.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Oh, how I wish we could sit down and resolve conflict in America. Oh, how I wish we could work hard on solutions and people would truly stand for the sacred cause of liberty. The debate is about Ken Ivory, and a lot of people say, you know what, he's not for real, it's a sham. Others say, no, he's doing his best, guys, and, well, the real debate comes down to, you know, some say it's not the best way to go about it, and that's the real issue. The problem is government has become so duplicitous, so deceptive, to where, you know what, we're at an all-time high with the American people not trusting government at all levels. They're just saying, you know what, even when I think we're on the same page, even when I think, I had a guy tell me yesterday, I had a guy that was going to put a bill on the hopper. He promised me he would. He put it in the hopper. I thought, man, we're going to get somewhere now. But he intentionally made sure no one else signed on to it, so it languished and eventually just fell apart. In other words, if you don't get a second signer on a bill or a second co-sponsor of a bill, it just dies. DOA. And so he says, now I realize I've been schnookered. The guy gave me a dead letter, basically. He agreed and put it in. He knew full well it wasn't going to go anywhere. This is just an example of the simple tactics that are used against us many times. Then you bring it up, and he's like, oh, no, I really tried. Well, now it's all up for questions and stuff. Ben, what about Ken Ivory? Is that kind of where we're sitting with Ken?
It's one of these things, I believe. It's a bait and switch. He talks a good talk. But his actions are completely different. It's not just me saying it. You've got the American Conservative Union graded him a D+, Utah Grassroots a F, Libertas a D's and S, and this year a C. Just like what example that you gave, there was a bill to nullify Obamacare in Utah, and legislators were about to introduce it. He would go to them and get them to not. He would say, "Oh, I'm gonna correct some of the language, but I'm gonna do that." So they trusted him. Finally, it didn't go anywhere. So he finally got someone to do it that didn't try to talk to him about it. Got introduced, and then in a committee, it got replaced. It was the replacement bill. The substitute bill was written by Ken Ivory, and it killed Obamacare in Utah.
Yeah, usually what they call that is a poison pill bill, right?
Of Obamacare.
Ben, they usually call that a poison pill bill, right?
Exactly.
All right. So the problems have been documented. Go ahead, sir.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just mentioning that some more examples. If he voted for increasing gas taxes. He voted for increasing property taxes. And so he talks a talk, but his actions are bigger government undermining liberty.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This bill, you know, the problem is there's a disconnect between when you work for government and when you're a private citizen. There's just a different mindset, and I think that's what kind of creates this separation of views, you might say, and how you look at the whole world. Is that a fair assessment, Ben?
Yeah.
All right, what else do you want to say about this thing? I've kind of controlled a lot of the conversation. I want to give you a chance, though, to make just bring up whatever you think is relevant here and important.
Well, I think it's important to know that you said that it's undeniable what the bill says, and they're trying to deny it while at the same time admitting it. They admit that the primary law enforcement authority in these areas is the Division of Wildlife, and then if a bureaucrat says so, this new government agency, the Department of Land Management, is the primary authority. Nobody denies that. They'll deny it, and then they'll admit it. Everybody's admitting it, and so when they say that we're not being honest, they're the ones that aren't being honest because we're just quoting the bill. I have nothing to gain. Nothing can come to me by stopping this bill. But politicians, and it's not just me, there's other, we've got, other liberty activists standing up. Lowell Nelson, you got radio talk show hosts standing up and saying exactly the same thing that we're saying. We have nothing to gain, but politicians have everything to gain by this and everything to lose by us stopping it.
Now, Mike would respond to you and say, you know what, neither of us are lying. What you're saying has some validity. We can work on that and sit down and fix it, but you refuse. Secondly, you know what, a lot of this is based on Title 23 of the Utah Code, which identifies wildlife to do a lot of this stuff. It's been that way forever. You act like this is something new. It's not true. The sheriffs are fine because they say they can coordinate these special interest, unique circumstances with the state. After all, there are checks and balances anyway. What's the difference? I would come back and say, well, if that's true, then just have these, I don't know what you call them, wildlife czars, work out of the sheriff's office and be answerable and an employee of the sheriff instead so that you don't have jurisdictional conundrums going on, and we can solve that. But that's only one piece of this big pie anyway. But the point is, he would say that, you know what, this just relates to all these other regulations that, you know what, I can't change Title 23 in my bill. And to some degree, I support that point that he's making is we've got there's just no good way out of this thing. It's like I'm in the middle of the ocean and I got to get off the ship and there's nowhere to go kind of a thing. And to some degree, it feels like that too.
So even if it was true that he couldn't undo Title 23, he doesn't have to add a new government bureaucracy that does the same, that does another, that an unaccountable bureaucracy that can override the sheriff again. So it's not just that it's putting in what's already entitled in law. He's adding new government agencies that do the same thing that he didn't have to do. He's making it worse. He can claim I can't fix everything. Well, okay, you can't fix everything, but don't make it worse.
All right, one point Mike made on the radio yesterday, and I don't mean just to take every point he made, but I wish you guys were there to debate it together because then you could respond to the points, and I'm just bringing them up to try to give you a chance to respond. I'm doing my very best to be fair on both sides. I have my own feelings about it, which I'm not afraid to express. However, I don't want it to taint the American people to decide what they think. I want to be fair to everybody, lay it out there, and let the American people think what they think based on the information, not based on Sam's spin or manipulation or whatever. So that's kind of why I'm trying to be as neutral as I can in an effort to truly tell both, you know what, let the people decide. Here's the information,
I'm
folks.
I'm using to meet with them, and I think that there's been a good faith trust broken.
By them, you mean?
So. What's that?
By them?
By them.
I understand. All right. And that's a big concern. That's a serious concern. Because it's going to be really hard to ever take that back. But one of the points that Mike made is he said, you know what? If somebody can write a better bill, let me see it. Your response?
That's always a diversion. They always say, write a better bill. Why don't you run for legislature? Well, because I'm not in there doesn't mean you get to violate principles of correct government. And my job is to say, oh, look what you're trying to do, and expose it to people, to your constituents, and so that we can stop you from violating the principles of liberty, from increasing the size of government, making things worse when you're lying and saying that you're trying to make it better. When I can say that I think the proof is in the pudding that it's not true because it's increasing government. It's a new agency that is taking more power away from the sheriff.
All right, there you have it. Now, you want people to call the governor. Do you think this is going to pass, or do you think if enough people get involved, we can stop it, or what do you think?
I think we have to do the right thing. I hope that if enough people call, that the governor will say, hey, let's stop this. And so if people call 801-538-1000, they can at least make their voice heard and be on record and standing for liberty.
All right, what else do you want to say with regards to this? The bills, the other concern about the bills, it's quite long. Some are saying it's 800 and something lines long. Some are saying 900 and something lines long. That's pretty massive, though. You know what? I want one single-page, single-issue bills going on, personally. What do you think about that?
Well, officially, I'm at the webpage. It's 914 lines long. And it's one of these things that what's hidden in there. I was talking to constitutional scholar Scott Bradley, and he was saying that even if you fix these one lines, the whole bill is bad. The whole bill is bad. You can't. It's designed for creating bigger government. There's no fixing it with one or two lines. The intent behind it is bad. It's the intent, not the stated intent, but the intent of the language in the bill is bad.
You think part of the problem is people don't know how to read these bills and they don't really understand all the infrastructure, all the framework, scaffolding behind it, and so they don't really get it? I started out by talking about definitions, but do you think that's a big piece of this pie?
Absolutely. How could they? There's over 400 bills passed, not just introduced, but 400 bills passed. Do you think in 3 months they read all of those and understood what they said, that they voted on?
All right. Now, Mike says, look, this was happening at the state legislature. There was public meetings on this thing. This bill's been floated about and worked on for over 2 years. Were you able to participate in any of those meetings, any of those opportunities to change it before it got to its current state?
Well, there's so many bills going on. It was hard. I didn't know about it until it was late in the game.
All right, and I find myself in the same situation. That's why yesterday I started out the radio program saying, I wish we could have been debating this quite a while ago. And, they would say, well, you had every opportunity to, Sam. And my response is, not only do I got your 1,000 bills in Utah to watch every year, I got to keep track of all the news in the whole nation, people. Come on. And so, I've done my best, and I just found out about the details of this. I mean, I heard about 276, but I really just found out about all the details and the controversy surrounding this just recently.
Long, that means they knew about it and they did it anyways. That to me is even worse.
All right. The problem is the American people just simply have checked out of the game because they believe they can't make any difference anyway.
Right.
And that's a serious problem.
Continue to act, and they only respond to you when you're loud enough. And then they try to placate you, try to fix the one thing that you bring up, and then they move on and they say, "Look, we agree." When they continue to destroy our liberties every day.
We're flat out of time, Ben. Thank you so much for your time. Richard Mack's coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Mack on your radio. Ben, any last comment?
I appreciate having me on.
All right, sir. Thank you. Hopefully I've been fair, ladies and gentlemen. One thing to do as a talk show host, it's very difficult to be fair, to really give somebody a chance to say what they want to say, whether you agree or disagree, but to be agreeable and polite in your delivery. And you know what? You, the people, can decide what you think. Do you think Ben's right? Do you think Mike's right? Do you have your own opinions? I sure hope you think through these complicated issues and come to a conclusion on your own of how we ought to go about this. But one of the things I will say is this. We must be willing to sit down and work on this. We must be willing to get legislators in office that'll do the right thing, or we need to run ourselves. This nation shall endure.